Let's open with hymn number 60. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and ye shall have gladness of heart. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who by thy Son hast revealed to us that heaven and earth shall pass away, that our bodies shall rise again, and that we all shall appear before the judgment seat, we beseech thee, keep us by thy Holy Spirit in thy word. Establish us in the true faith. Graciously defend us from sin and preserve us in all temptations, that our hearts may not be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, but that we may ever watch and pray, and trusting fully in thy grace, await with joy the glorious coming of thy Son, and at last obtain eternal salvation through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this second Sunday in Advent is found in the fourth chapter of Malachi, the first through the sixth verse. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. It will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 14th chapter of Romans, the 4th through the 13th verse. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here ends the epistle lesson. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Hallelujah. The gospel lesson for this day is found in the 21st chapter of Luke, the 25th through the 36th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Glory be to thee, O Lord. will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Here ends the Gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 606. Thank you. Grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 21st chapter of Luke, the 25th through the 36th verse. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Redeemed in Jesus Christ, today our Lord Jesus talks about a very popular subject, the end of the world. These verses are part of Jesus' answer to the disciples' question, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" The first words of Jesus' answer are themselves prophetic. Take heed that no one deceives you. When it comes to the end times, there is a lot of deception going on. The deception often comes in the form of false Christs, as Jesus said it would come. And it also takes the form of false teaching regarding what supposedly must take place at the end. Take heed that you are not deceived. Now, Christians may not be so easily deceived by false Christs, but the same cannot be said for almost anything else about the end times. In recent years, the American obsession with the end times has been fueled by a seemingly endless series of books. If these novels portrayed the end times as Jesus himself foretells them, this would be a good thing. However, they do not. By all accounts, you would think that the bulk of Christianity now believes that the many signs of the end have yet to appear. According to this view, before Christ comes, the temple at Jerusalem must be rebuilt. Animal sacrifices must begin anew in that temple. All the real Christians must be raptured away. All the false or maybe just marginal Christians and unbelievers will have to suffer persecution for 7 years. And only then will Jesus come. But wait, there's more. For then you will have 1,000 years before the judgment comes. 1,000 years to come to your senses. Plenty of time to repent. Obviously, there is no rush. It is tempting to dismiss this phenomenon as a fad, a fleeting cultural infatuation with apocalyptic fantasy. The problem is that most who read these books believe that they accurately represent what's going to happen. And what's the real danger in that? The danger is shown by hearing Jesus' word. Jesus does not warn us to look for a coming or to look for signs that are yet to occur. According to Jesus, the day of his coming can take anyone by surprise. He makes no exceptions, whether in that generation or in this one. Take heed to yourselves, He tells them, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Well, could the day of Jesus' return really come upon us unexpectedly? Or, even more so, on those apostles, if the signs of the coming had not yet occurred? Perhaps Jesus was just simply naive. Didn't he realize that the temple had to be rebuilt and destroyed first? Or destroyed and rebuilt, the Jews would all have to be converted. No, Jesus meant exactly what he said. Would you rather listen to Jesus or to an endless parade of self-proclaimed end times prophets who contradict Jesus' words and tell you that there is no reason to expect his coming for a good long time? Let the word of Jesus be true, and every man be found a liar. Jesus points to all the signs of the end and declares in no uncertain terms, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Now these words have bothered many biblical scholars because at first what Jesus says seems impossible. The generation of the apostles has long since passed away, and yet Jesus has not come in clouds with great glory. And yet, there is no contradiction here if you just simply go back and see the question that Jesus is answering. They asked, the disciples asked, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus tells them the many signs. And then, when they have all taken place, then the Son of Man will come. It is very obvious that when Jesus says that all these things must take place, he is referring to their question. What are the signs of your coming? He wants them to be very clear that all of these signs will find their fulfillment in their generation, so that no one at any time in the history of the Christian church can ever use the excuse, Jesus cannot come yet. History indeed shows us that Jesus' prophecy was true. All of these things took place in their generation. When you put it that way, in no way, shape, or form does Jesus give you any reason to believe that there is any sign whatsoever yet to be fulfilled, or anything at all that can prevent his coming upon you at any time. Later in the same discussion with his disciples, Jesus says, know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That unexpected hour will truly be unexpected for those who are convinced that it cannot yet happen. But what then do these words have to say to us nearly 2,000 years later? The signs of which Jesus speaks, particularly all those that followed the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem, namely those ones which we just heard in our lesson, are just as much signs today as they were in the days of the apostles. Because Jesus has not yet come in clouds with power and great glory, we know that these signs are to continue in our day. It is not at all wrong to be obsessed with the end times, because every generation of the church has sighed, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We await his coming with great longing. And because of that, we look for the signs of the end as reminders that he will soon and at any time come upon us. In our lesson today, therefore, Jesus continues to warn you to watch for his coming, for it can easily be that your heart will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day will come on you unexpectedly. You may or may not be guilty of carousing and drunkenness, but there is no question at all that you have been distracted by the cares of this life. And the cares of this life are many things. Some of them are distracting pleasures, such as the countless forms of entertainment we can enjoy or business that we can conduct. Many of the cares of this life are not so pleasant. You are probably knowledgeable about politics and the state of the world, or at least our nation, and you have watched our steady descent into godless materialism and totalitarianism. Your paychecks, your homes, even your ability to put food on the table seem always to be threatened. Personal freedoms are disappearing, and the borders of our country are porous, and every institution of society is moving towards globalism. And it is all directed against Christ, and your children's future looks grim. These are the cares of this life. Everything bad or good that can happen to you, every pleasure and worry, business and leisure, joy and pain, buying and selling, in short, everything that will come to an end when Christ comes in glory to judge the world. When you are caught up in the business of living, whether in enjoying the good things of the world or worrying about your next mouthful of bread, it is easy to forget that all that is here in this world is going to pass away. None of it will last, not the joys, not the troubles. All the pleasures you find here, as well as all the tribulation you endure, will come to an end. Then what worry will you have? What worldly possessions will matter? Everything that seems so important and critical now will not even come to mind. Jesus calls his coming a snare. An animal is caught in a snare when it gets distracted by the bait, so that it pays no attention to the trap. Even so, if you are so distracted by this world that you have forgotten Christ, that when he comes suddenly, you will be caught unprepared, and then it will be too late to prepare for him. How should a healthy obsession with the return of Jesus actually play out then in your life? Should it fill you with anxiety? Should you be afraid of the signs of the times? By no means. Jesus has given you a promise. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The cares of this life which can distract you from the coming of Christ have their antidote in the words of Jesus. This life will end, but the word of Christ will not end. In his word, Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." As much as the signs and cares of this life may give you reason to worry, do not be afraid. For if all of these things are signs of Jesus coming, then they are all actually good news. Indeed, at these signs, Jesus tells us, "Look up, for your redemption draws near." Jesus is your Redeemer. In his word, he's revealed his life and death for you. He has shown to you the sure proofs that your sins are forgiven by his blood through his resurrection from the dead. Until the end of the world, this word will stand unassailable. The signs of the end are not reasons to fear then, but to rejoice, for they show you that the time is at hand when all of your hopes will be realized. The good things of heaven which God has given to you today in his word and sacraments are a foretaste of the far greater things that Jesus has prepared for you. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. Lift up your eyes and watch for your Redeemer. Watch, he says, that you may be found worthy to escape the destruction of this sinful world. This world will be destroyed, and many people will be destroyed with it. And while this world will pass away, those who are in it will not be so lucky. Unlike the world, their destruction will not end in a new creation. For Jesus will banish them to the place of forgetting, the outer darkness, the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the only left behind that the scriptures know. How shall you be found worthy to escape that destruction? Like all those who talk about disasters, you had better be prepared. What kind of preparation should you be making for the end? Should you store up enough food and water to make it through 7 years of tribulation in case you end up getting left behind? Should you keep your eyes peeled for any mark of the beast so that you don't accidentally pledge yourselves to Satan?
Whoops.
No, none of these things will help you in the end. There is only one thing you need to prepare for the coming of Jesus and to be found worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And that is the only thing that can make you worthy, the righteousness of Christ, which is yours by faith. This is the only... Thanks be to God that you do not have to seek out or earn this righteousness. He has given it to you freely. It is here in that word which shall not pass away. It is here in these promises of life and salvation. It is here in your baptism and in his supper. And therefore do not be distracted or diverted from the glorious coming of Jesus to any false sign or wonder. Stand today in his righteousness, for by it Christ has made you worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, the Father of all light and wisdom, who art righteous in all thy ways and true in all thy judgments, we give thanks unto thee for thy word, thy testimonies, thy laws and commandments, thy sure word of prophecy, and most especially for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We confess with thanksgiving that thy truth is pure, enlightening the eyes, perfect, converting the soul, sure, making wise the simple, right, rejoicing the heart, true, guiding the lost, good, strengthening the weak, and light, leading us to Christ. We ask thy blessing on all who preach thy word, that all men may hear the joyful sound of the gospel. O God, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us that we may serve thee with pure hearts, obey thee with willing minds, trust thee with perfect confidence, and love thee above all the world. Thy word and promise have confirmed in us the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore may we glorify and praise thee evermore. To this end, preserve us that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us, nor lead us into error, unbelief, and sin. Teach us to watch and pray, that abiding faithful even unto death, we may be counted worthy to escape the judgment of this earth, and to stand before Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, who shall arise upon us with healing in his wings. Keep us steadfast in the faith that we may not fail to receive the inheritance which has been promised to all those who believe on him. We pray for thy church, O God, that all divisions, scandals, and heresies
may be put out of the way, that it may serve thee in truth, purity, and devotion. Give peace and stability to the nations of the earth. Put down all evil rulers and raise up those who will serve after thy good pleasure. Watch over our men who stand on foreign soil for the defense of this nation, that they may fight a good fight, and in serving their country serve thee. We pray thy blessing upon our homes and families. May Christ rule in the hearts of parents and children. Give strength and comfort to the sick and sorrowing, guidance to our youth, and joy and hope to the aged. Lead us all to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who in his second coming will receive us and all who believe in him unto himself and unto thee, O Father, and the Holy Spirit. In his holy name we pray. Amen. We sing hymn 64. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. True blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O
God the Father, fountain source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 54. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.